text this morning comes from Luke,
chapter 9, beginning with verse 28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up on a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I've chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time about what they had seen. The next day, when they came down from the mountain, there was a large crowd to meet him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive those words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. So today is Transfiguration Day. The day when Jesus took his disciples up on the mountaintop, as we read. And this is where Jesus got his confirmation, not only from the father of Israel, but also the prophet of Israel, and then his father. So today, I want to talk to you about what the disciples experienced. As you read, you see little things going on in there that Peter being Peter was so excited about being there, and he wanted to build shelters and all of that. But what we have to look at is as we delve a little bit in there, is one of the first things that was there, it said they became fully awake. They'd been sleepy. I'm figuring that, and I don't know about you, but if I climb up on climb an incline, that pretty well wears me out. That's why when I'm on the treadmill, I'm flat. But it says that they became fully awake and they saw his glory. You see, sometimes for the disciples, they witnessed things, but sometimes it was hard for them to understand. It was hard for them to comprehend what was going on because they weren't fully in tune with what was going on with Jesus. I mean, they had seen many miracles. They saw him change water to wine. They saw him heal people. They saw him speak the word. They saw so many things going on. And if you look all through the Gospels that tell about the journeys of Jesus' ministry, there are times when they are oblivious to what's going on, even though they're right there. The feeding of the 5,000. They didn't comprehend all of that, that he could take two fish and five loaves and feed everybody and still have something left. Okay, yeah, I saw that happen, but I'm not really sure the meaning behind it. And so many times it was later when their eyes were open. We read where it says that later on they realized what Jesus was talking about. You see, they had to be awake, fully awake, in order to understand what was going on. Then, of course, Peter, he wanted to build the shelters. It was good for them to be there. They were experiencing a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. But then reality came and they had to come back down from the mountain. So how does that apply to us today? We're not going to see Moses and Elijah come down. So what does all of this mean to us? Well, we got to put ourselves in the place of the disciples. How many times do we walk through life with our eyes open, but we don't see what's going on? You ever walk by someplace or been doing something and just out of the blue, boom, there's something there that you didn't realize was there? Have you ever experienced a miracle in your life? Have you ever been on a mountaintop? So this past week, on Tuesday, I'm sitting in my office and just completely flabbergasted. And so I went out and told Kelly, I said, don't let anybody in my office. I went in, I turned out the light, closed the door, and just sat there. I was waiting on a phone call. I was waiting to find out what the doctors had to say about my son's cancer. I sat there waiting. And it felt like I was trudging up the side of Mount Everest. You ever gone up a steep hill? You start going and you're going along and you hit some wet grass or you hit some loose gravel or you hit something and you kind of slip a little bit. You ever had that happen? Hopefully you didn't slip all the way back down. But that's what happens in our life. We start going up that hill and we hit this rocky spot or we hit this slick spot or we hit the wet grass or mud and we kind of stumble and we slip a little bit. And it makes that trek up that mountain just that much harder. In our Christian walk, we're always wanting to get to that pinnacle, right? We're always striving for that perfection. We're always looking for that sanctifying grace, right? We're always wanting to be there in the presence of Christ. But too many times in our lives as we're going along, we slip, we stumble, we fall, we scrape our knees, we bruise our elbows. And that's the journey up the mountain. So the meeting with my son and his doctor was at 11:30. It took forever for 11:30 to get here. And then once 11:30 hit, it took even longer to get a phone call. So the phone call finally comes. And this was the report. So the mass below the stomach is an ulcer. Okay. The mass above the stomach in the esophagus is precancer. And this is what they're going to do. And when they get done with the procedures, he will be 100% cured. Have you ever been to the mountaintop? I hit it Tuesday at 12:15. It was a feeling like I've never experienced before. Yeah, I've been to other mountaintops before, but there was something about being in the presence of God at that moment. And I felt like Peter. I was ready to build my 1,800 square foot retirement home right there. Because I did not want to leave. The feeling that was there, the burden, the weight had been lifted off that had been there for 2 or 3 weeks. There was nothing that was going to change for me that day. And I wanted to remain in that spot forever. But as I was there, just as the disciples heard in the cloud, I heard God speaking, "I told you I had this." But just like the disciples, about 15 minutes after that, it was time to come back down off the mountain. It was time to go back down into the valley. It was time to come back to reality. It was time to face the real world. Any of y'all ever experienced anything like that? You know, you got so much great stuff going on. I know that there are those here today that would tell you that they are a miracle walking because of what God has done in their lives to heal them. But I guarantee you, if you speak to those people, the first thing they will tell you is that reality came back. The world had not changed, and that it was time to go back down. Why? Why would God do that to us? You ever wondered? When we get there in the presence of God, then we have to go back. I ran in a 5K a few years ago, believe that or not, y'all. In downtown Dallas, I let somebody talk me into it. I won't tell you what I was calling them during the 5K. But something that I realized that half of that marathon was uphill. The other half was downhill. Unfortunately, the downhill came first. But I realized something this week as I was thinking about all of this. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to get to that pinnacle where God is and how fast you come right back down? And when you put this weight behind something going downhill, I think it's Newton that was talking about gravity. Gravity happens. You see, God allows us to experience His glory, His majesty, His awesomeness, the aha moments, those God moments. Those wow moments. But if we remain there in that one wow moment, think about all the other aha moments that we miss. If we remain right there, and Tommy, this is nice and firm right here, buddy. If we remain right here, nothing else is going to happen. If we remain in one spot, we can't see the glory of God going on around us because we're so focused and sleepy right here. So we come back down off that mountaintop so that we can experience more miracles, more adventures, more greatness in our lives. Even though I hate, and I know that's a strong word, but I hate to fly. I look forward to every trip back to Canada because I got to see the majesty of God's creation. Even though we don't like being in the valley of our lives, we have that opportunity to look forward to those mountaintop experiences where God shows us His greatness. So it's going to happen to you again. After this marvelous service of awesome music and this unforgettable sermon, here in a little bit, you're going to walk right out those doors. And this moment on the mountaintop that you're spending with God in whatever manner it might be personally for you, reality's coming back. And we've got to come down off the mountain. Because in all honesty, y'all can't sit in here the rest of your lives. You've got to get out and look forward to next Sunday. You've got to look forward to the next miracle God is going to perform in your life. But you've got to stay awake. You've got to experience that moment. But we got to keep on moving forward. We've got to go on knowing that God is going to do something good in our lives tomorrow. So when you leave here today, when you go back out into that cold, nasty weather world, be on alert. Be looking. Because God is right in front of you, waiting to bring you to that pinnacle place again in your life. One of the greatest things about our walk with Christ, one of the most miraculous things in our lives was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because with His resurrection, He defeated death, and that is the most awesome mountaintop experience. And when we come and we celebrate communion, like it says on the front of the table, do this in remembrance of me, It's to remember the sacrifices, the valley that Christ went through in order to be on the mountaintop. So as we come today to take communion, know that this is a mountaintop experience for each of us. Because this is that time that it's just you and Him in the presence of God. And it doesn't matter what's going on all over the world. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. This is our moment with Christ. And this table here that's before us, that's been prepared, doesn't belong to the United Methodist Church. It doesn't belong to